Andrew Buelling, Ms. John H. Boatride, on April 14, 1973, in her home at Mathis, Texas. For 66 years, Ms. Boatride has been an active member of the First Baptist Church in Mathis. Ms. Boatride came to Texas from Mississippi with her parents. Interviewer, Barbara Lieber.
You said you'd like to know the difference in what they teach there and what is taught here. Well, I tell you, we were taught to read and spell even when I was a senior. And there we had Latin. And we had Mississippi history and the United States history, of course we had it. And we studied what we call the Harvard's grammar. Of course, now all of that is done away with, it seems, that now and the way they do. And I was talking to someone not long ago and about something about diagramming a sentence. Well, how do you diagram a sentence? I said, don't you, you're not taught that? No. Well, I said, then we just don't go to school alike. Well, we also had elocution taught. We had to pass with that. And however, I went to other schools before I was in Talesville, but that's the year that I went to high school. Of course, back in, we had to learn what we call our ABCs before we ever started to school. And of course, there, a lot of the schools would have free schools, and they'd have what we call pay schools. You could go 4 months, and it was paid. If you went the other 4 months, your parents had to pay for it. You bought your books. And it's quite different to a school that I encounter with this day and time. But still, I liked it.
Do you remember when the first day you went to school?
Yes, I do, because I remember that morning before I left, because my parents told me, says, now, you must be sure you know your ABCs before you go. So that morning, we had a porch with the large post, you know. So I went around, and I swung around that post several times, going over my ABCs. Would not do to go to school and not know your ABC. So I did. The first day I went to school, and that was about the first thing that you had to do. If you didn't know your ABCs, well, that was what you had to do. You had to start from the ABCs to start to school. But we enjoyed it, and I just enjoyed it as much as children enjoy the school this day and time.
Ms. Boatwright, what is your birthday and the year you were born?
Well, my birthday is May 3rd, 1884.
And you're going to have a birthday next month.
Mm-hmm.
And how old will you be?
I'll be 89.
When did you first come to Texas?
So when did I first?
When did you come to Texas?
I came to Texas in the latter part of 1906. And the latter part of 1906 is when I went to Kennedy. That's where my father and brother, and decided they would go into the, father would go into the mercantile business, and my brother bought this newspaper because he had that kind of work in Mississippi. However, he was a teacher and a lawyer, but they came to Texas because they just felt like that they would enjoy life out here, but they found it quite different. But we enjoyed our stay in Kennedy, and he had the Advance, and I know the Advance is still the Advance today. And that was back in 1906, but it was much easier. Kennedy was a much larger place than Sinton. Sinton was a small town then where this brother, Judge J.C. Russell, lived. So he, I guess, printed the first paper that was printed in Sinton. And it was known as the Sinton Headlight. Well, it was hard for him to get help in a newspaper there. And the brother in Kennedy said that he would spare me to go down there and work for him. So he and I printed this first paper in Sentinel. And I enjoyed it while I stayed in Sentinel. But I still kept it in mind that in the fall I wanted to go to Mary Harden Baylor, which my daddy had promised me maybe so if they didn't decide to go back to Mississippi. But I just left that as it was, and I went to Sentinel and worked there, and of course I met my husband. And he insisted that I forget Mary Harden Baylor and going back to Mississippi.
Where was Mr. Boatwright living?
He was living here.
In Mathis?
He had in the home. We were married in Kennedy. And after I left Sentinel when he could get someone to help him there, I went back to Kennedy and we were married in Kennedy.
Well, where did you meet Mr. Boatwright?
I met him the few months that we lived in Sandia. He came over there one night to an ice cream supper.
Did he come on his horse?
No, he was in a buggy.
In a buggy?
Yes, we did. I didn't ever court anywhere except in a buggy. And in my home, mostly. Yeah.
And that's how you met Mr. Boatwright?
That's how
at the
I
ice cream supper.
At an ice cream supper in Sandia. And his cousin brought him and told him about the ice cream supper over that night. The Methodist people were having it. And she told him I had met her. She lived here. And I had met her. And she told him about me. I don't know why. But I met him that night. And of course, my sister and I had walked up to where they were having the ice cream supper. And of course, we had ice cream together. And he wanted to, of course, carry me home. But I said, no. I said, I'm a new person here. I don't know people. And I like to know people, and I just rather not. So I told my sister about him and walked home and said, you'll never have him anymore.
How old were you at this time?
I was 22.
22.
Mm-hmm. And so then we were married and came to...
You must have heard from him again then. You said that she told you...
In about a week.
About a week you heard from him, huh?
In the meantime, though, I investigated him.
Oh, that's the way.
But we were married in Kennedy, and we came to Mathis September 1908. And he and his mother lived over here on Main Street, where this, what's the man that has the... second-hand store. Anyway, the second-hand store there on that block across from Chevrolet.
Let me think. I can't. I understand where the home was.
It's
just right there on Main Street.
On Main Street.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we had a yard fence, and there was very few. Just two or three stores there when I came here, and Mr. John Bell had a store there on the corner where the filling station is. They were all general stores, of course, and a post office, and the way of travel was, we had a depot agent.
Well, was the train here when you...
The train was here.
Uh-huh.
I came in here on a train.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And we had a passenger train through, and at that time, the people in Mathis did most of their shopping in Beeville.
Uh-huh.
Beeville was, of course, in what it is now. But Mathis, where Mathis streets are now, was little trails when I came here.
Were there very many people here?
No, there wasn't very many people here. And of course, the Baptist Church had just been organized when I came here.
Just how long had it been? 1 year?
No, it was organized, I believe, in 1905. But they had the same pastor of the church when I came here that organized the church. And all of the pastors that have been here since that time have been my pastors.
You've been a member of the Baptist Church then how many years?
I've been a member of the Baptist Church since I was 11 years old.
And then how many years here in Mathis?
Well, I came here in 1908. makes about 76 years.
Uh-huh.
That, and all six of my children have been members of this church, and all six of them have finished high school here. And some of the grandchildren have finished high school here.
So you've been in Mathis a long time.
Well, I've been in Mathis since 1980. Of course, I don't say that I've been back and forth, and of course I've made trips back to Mississippi and stay a month or so, something like that. But I always felt that Mathis was home because I've loved Mathis. I've enjoyed my life that I've lived here. When I first came here, of course, we didn't have many utilities that we have now.
But did you have your own water well?
Yes, we had our own water well.
Did you have water in the house, or did you have to carry it?
When I first came here, my husband's mother was living with him. She didn't like to have the water in the house, and it wasn't piped in the house.
Why didn't she want it in the house?
Well, she said she felt like it was kind of nuisance to have water in the house, but my husband put water in the house after I came here because we had it that way. It was that way in Kennedy. We had more things like that.
It's a lot easier than carrying it back and forth in a bucket.
That's true. But I've seen many buckets of water carried in, Barbara. And I've seen many things that are done quite different to what they are done now.
Oh, yes.
We didn't have washing machines. We didn't have cars.
How'd you wash the clothes?
Well, the hard way.
On the scrub board?
Yes.
Did you boil your water outside in a big pot?
Yes, boil the water outside. Mm-hmm.
I can remember my mother doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could afford to have a washing machine, you know, during the Depression.
No.
Very few did.
Uh-huh. Well, but this was back in the 1908s and 1909s, they had very few real handy gadgets.
Mm, that's right.
But Mathis has really grown.
Yeah.
And so has Sinton. Of course, that was, I feel, kind of close to Sinton, too, is as for that.
Because your brother lived there many years,
yes,
Judge Russell.
Uh-huh. Yes, he lived there many years. And the first year that he was there, of course, I lived with him and worked with him, and we enjoyed that.
Well, when you first came to Mathis, what did Mr. Boatwright do? What kind of work was he in?
He and his brother owned this city gin.
Oh, well, I never did know that.
Yes, they owned the gin, and his brother lived in Pleasanton, and he would come down in the ginning season. But they owned that gin when he first came down.
You're talking about the one that was on right in the middle of town?
Yes.
They're tearing it down
They're
now?
They're tearing it down now. Mm-hmm. Well, they owned that gin at that time. And of course, he farmed in connection with that. But there's quite a difference in how it was when I came here. Of course, the trails, and even my children, the older children, came to school and walked. We didn't have cars and didn't have a bus to bring them. And a lot of times they would walk from out at the farm into school.
Oh, y'all moved out to a farm?
Mm-hmm. He owned a farm out that, you know, this old house that we found.
When did y'all move out on the farm?
Well, it was about, Mary was born out at the farm.
How many children do you have, Miss Bowen?
I have six.
Can you tell me all their names?
Yeah, sure. You mean my immediate children?
Yeah, your children.
Clarence, you know, who lives in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And Basil, who lives in Alice. And of course, Milton is here. And Mary, of course, this is her home, but she teaches in Corpus. And Alma and Helen teach here.
And Mary was born on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And Clarence and Milton were born in Mathis.
Mm-hmm. And now, my husband, of course, I told you about him. He drove the train that hauled the material to build the dam. And after that, he had to go a month over to Crystal City and work in a shipyard, in a railroad yard of some kind over there, some kind of machinery, that he was asked to go there. We stayed about a month there, and during that time, Helen was born in Crystal City.
Oh. Is she the youngest one?
Helen's the youngest.
Well, when you your babies were born, did you have someone to come to the house? They were born at home, weren't they?
They were born at home, and we had a wonderful Negro couple that lived here at that time, and she was always very faithful.
Do you remember their name?
Their names were Millard Hawkins and his wife.
Do you know, Miss Boatwright, that I remember them?
You do?
I remember them, and I remember where they lived.
Uh-huh. They lived over across town. I think there's a Hawkins addition over there.
Yeah, they were real nice,
wonderful little couple. And she was always wonderful to me at times like that.
And of course, we didn't have hospitals.
No.
Was there a doctor in Mathis at that time?
Yes, there was a doctor here. My husband's cousin was a doctor, Dr. Harris.
Oh.
Was the first doctor when I came here. But people here, if they had to go to a hospital, usually went to the Santa Rosa in San Antonio.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after you moved to the farm, how long did you live on the farm?
Well, we were on the farm about, 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, he got this route that Milton carries now when we bought this property here, sold that, and we bought this property.
Okay.
And we were living there when he passed away, of course.
How long was Mr. Boatwright a mail carrier?
Well, I don't remember just how long. I know Milton was in the service about 2 years. He must have been a mail carrier about 3 years anyway.
Uh-huh. Before he got sick.
Mm-hmm. And until when Milton came back in for the service, he had this route himself that he has today.
When y'all lived on the farm, Miss Boatwright, I know farming then was a lot different than it is now. Can you tell me a little bit about how y'all worked the land and what you planted?
They usually planted corn and cotton. And there was a few times that they decided to maybe go the vegetable. And I remember one year that we had cabbage, but the very year that we had cabbage, there was no market for them. And so we stayed mostly with cotton and corn, or only had about 90 acres.
What did you do with all that cabbage that first year?
They just bought in the field.
This was no market.
No market for them much then, so we sold a few, but not many. But
did you make sauerkraut?
No, I didn't know how.
Well, how did Mr. Boatwright plow the field?
With a team. Mules and horses and things like that. It was what he plowed with, sometimes with one, sometimes. He had what he called a turning plow. Now, I don't know about things like that. But, of course, he had a span of mules and he had horses because a lot of times then, when we were married, we had horse and buggies. You had to have a buggy horse and a wagon. We didn't have cars to go to town. We went in a buggy, a wagon, a horseback, however was handiest.
Did you work in the fields?
No, I did not work in the field. With 6 children, it's a little bit hard to work in the house.
Well, did the children help their daddy on the farm?
Well,
the boys?
In a way they did, but not in a hindrance to going to school.
Mm-hmm. And now,
most of the time then, it was easy to get cotton pickers. But it wasn't very easy to get a woman to come out that far to do any kind of housework. You just did your housework, and occasionally you could get help.
When you lived on the farm, how did the boys come into school?
Walked.
They walked from the farm. How far was that?
When Clarence was 7 years old and started to school, of course I was worried about it, but the people over near us, you might remember Cleo Stone.
Yes.
Well, Cleo was then a senior, so he came by every morning and would walk, so Clarence would have somebody to walk to town with him.
About how far was that? About 5 miles?
Oh, no, it's not more than a mile and a half.
Oh, I see.
Not too far. It wasn't then. We didn't think that was very far to walk.
Did the boys ever ride their horse to school?
No. No, they rarely ever rode horseback.
You wouldn't let them do that?
Well, it just didn't seem very handy for them to ride horseback. Now, their daddy did. He rode horseback.
Mr. Boatwright was a good horseman, I believe.
Yes, he was. And the bridge between here and Sandia then, that was there was no bridge on the river in crossing. If you got over there and the river got up, you just stayed.
Well, how did you come across the river?
You just forded the river right close to where the bridge is now.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you got to over to Mathis?
That's right. And the other way, of course, Alice was a pretty good town at that time. But it has grown, of course, considerably now.
You said a while ago that Mr. Boatwright helped to haul the material for the dam. Is that you? Are you talking about the very first dam that was built on
the very first dam that was built? They had what they called a spur run out there for a train to carry the material that built the dam, and he was engineering on that little spur train going back and forth to carry the material out there. And that's when we bought our first car, and when I first learned to drive a car. And of course we had a Ford.
Was that an exciting day?
Oh, exciting, yes.
Do you remember how much you paid for that car?
No, I really don't remember. I don't remember now just what we paid for that
car. What year was that? Do you remember the year?
No, I just don't remember. However, that wasn't our first car was an old Briscoe, and that a man came in, it was a second-hand car, and I know my husband let him have a carload of hay for that car.
Is that right?
Yes.
Was it a pretty good car?
Yes, it was a good car.
A Briscoe?
It was a good car, a Briscoe.
I don't believe I've ever heard of that.
I've never heard of one since.
And then you did get you a new car.
Well, we got a new car, and it was a Ford.
Was that when all the children were still at home?
Yes, they were still at home then, and I would have to carry Clarence was old enough that he could drive the car. So he would carry his daddy out to work in the mornings. And Helen, was still at home, quite a little girl. And I had learned to drive the car. I was nervous over it, of course, the idea of an automobile. And so we'd drive out there and carry his lunch and come back in, then go back in, come in town in the morning and to pick them up at school. Of course, they had to carry their lunch to school.
You made 6 lunches every morning?
Mm-hmm.
What did you put in their lunch?
Well, I don't remember now. I expect sausage and biscuit.
You didn't have bread like we do today. You made your bread, didn't you?
Sure.
How many loaves of bread did you make at a time?
Well, Barbara, it would make a nice little room full now.
Would you bake once a week or every day?
No, I didn't bake once a week because I didn't always bake light bread. My family were used to biscuit, and I made biscuit. I made biscuit lots of mornings for breakfast, and maybe I'd have to bake some more at noon.
I see.
And that is dull. I usually had to cook everything, and I was told Helen the other day over at her house that she had a picture of herself and Mary and Alma when they were about 12, 11, and then Helen was just a little walking girl. I said, listen, everything that you have on, I made it, except your shoes and socks. We didn't go and buy things then like the mothers do now.
You made all the clothes.
We made it.
Did you make the shirts?
Oh, yes.
Did you make their trousers?
Well, I did, but their trousers then, boys were a little short. trousers. They didn't wear long trousers then. They were short.
And you made them?
I made them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine with six children, that was a lot of work.
Well, I kept pretty busy, but I enjoyed it.
I wonder, could you tell me about coming to church with your six children? I know you came because you're there every Sunday still.
Well, some pastor that visited me since I've been here asked me when I started going to church. Well, I said, my mother started carrying me to church when I was 1 month old. And I said, that's about all I've known ever since. Of course, we had Sunday school different then than we do now. We had Sunday school in the afternoons. That now goes back to Mississippi. That was when I first joined the church. We did it like that. But here, of course, we had a call most of the time. Then we had what's called a surly at first, room for us all to come, you know. And we came into church that way. But of course, the church was, I guess you remember, old Brother Wilson.
No, I don't. I can't remember. I know who he was. Uh-huh. That was Ms. Crane's.
Ms. Crane's father.
Uh-huh. I remember, you know, of course, hearing about him, but...
Well, he was pastor here.
Is that when the church was, where the Sears and Roebuck catalog store is now?
Yeah, that's when the church was open. The Methodist Church was over here where they Catholic, I don't know, over across this, just this side of their new building. Mm-hmm. The Methodist Church was there, but the Baptist Church was over here where the ward is now. And then they sold that was sold, and bought this property where the church is now. And I'm sure that the Methodists did theirs the same way and bought this property where they are now. But when we moved over here,
when the church started building its new building where it is now, what did were you helping with that in committees and things like that?
Well, in different things, yes. You remember Brother Hutchins?
Yes.
Well, I was just telling Earl the other day, he was asking me about the church then. And I said, well, you remember Mr. Matthew, don't you?
Sure.
Well, Mr. Matthew and Brother Coltrane and myself were the pulpit committee who brought Brother Hutchins here. But we didn't do it like they do it now. Brother Coltrane happened to know Brother Hutchins in San Antonio. So we three just decided we'd have him come down, so we did. And the church called Brother Hutchins at that time. But then I tried to do as much as I could all these years back. And I've tried to live worthy of a good life. And I think that's the only life for a person to try to live.
Do all of your children belong to the Baptist Church?
Yes. And many of my grandchildren do.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Let's see, I have six children, and I believe 11 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren.
You've got a pretty big family now, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
When your children were small, and did you make them go to Sunday school and church every Sunday?
No, the way we did that, if I was going, they never asked any questions. If I was making church and Sunday school, why they were going too. And of course they went a lot of times because there would be times in all that time that I couldn't make it every Sunday, but every Sunday that I could. But they didn't question the fact if I was dressing to go to church that they would get dressed and go to. And I was always glad of that because I didn't want them to think that I would make them do things like that because I thought that wasn't the right kind of service.
When your children were small, I know that you didn't take them to the doctor like they do now. You had your own ways to try to get them well, or remedies. Can you think of some? What'd you do for them when they had a bad cold?
Well, when they had a bad cold, you depended on maybe a dose of castor oil and a bottle of Vicks.
I bet they remember that.
I'm sure they do.
Did they all have childhood diseases and measles?
Oh, yes. Yes, I had constipation and Milton all in the bed with the measles at the same time.
Did you have to call a doctor, or did
yes,
you?
Yes, Dr. Thompson was the doctor here then. And he was here for many years, but he was a good doctor, he really was. But we had, of course, different doctors. This Dr. Harris wasn't a really young doctor when I came here, and of course he retired. And after that, Dr. Thompson was here, and he was our doctor. But for nail sticks, I depended on carbolic acid. Oh. And it worked well.
Can you think of any other things that you...
That I doctored for?
Uh-huh.
No, what I did most of with mine, with measles, I had... my mother had 10 children, and of course I was in the midst of the bunch, and I had seen her when she would doctor the children, and most that she did was to be careful and take care of them, that they didn't expose themselves much with measles and the contagious diseases like that. And they had the whooping cough. We had no way to keep that down like we do now, and the measles too. Mine went through most all of that.
Did you have any real close calls with your children when they were sick? Did they?
Well, no, I can't say that I did. I can't say that I did because I did everything that I thought was the thing to do, like my mother had taught me. See that they have 3 wholesome meals a day. And see that they usually devoured it too. But that was the way she doctored us, and that was the way I did until we did have doctors. Of course, after the doctors were in force, then I used the doctor's advice, which was good.
When you first came to Mathis and y'all were living in town over the, where Mr. Boatwright's mother lived, was there any thing that happened that was exciting, like maybe bad men come riding into town on their horses, or?
Yes, but not particular bandits, I wouldn't say, Barbara. Of course, we did have people sometimes who would just get out and shoot just for, I imagine, for attraction. I don't know what else. It wasn't very comfortable to, but I don't think that Mathis could be considered as having bandits or anything like that, but they did have drunk people a lot of times, of course, but that happened everywhere, and I felt like that Mathis was still a pretty good town so far as that was concerned.
When you first came here, did you hear any stories about maybe hangings that they, or anything like that, killings that they had, you know, out in the country?
I've heard recently, more than I did when I first came here, about something they had down at San Patricio. I guess you heard that story. It seemed like that they had trouble like that down there. But I know during times like that, they did have hangings that you'd hear of, but nothing immediately here in Mathis that I ever knew about.
Were there very many Mexican people in Mathis when you first came?
No, there wasn't very many Mexican people and very few Negroes. Very few Negroes.
Well, now, you came from Mississippi, which has a large population of Negroes. Do you remember the racial difficulties then, or was there any?
Well, yes. Back there, we were definitely separate from the black man. They were, of course, my father had an old man on his farm who was a slave. Not that during his time he didn't, wasn't, he was a young man during the time the slaves were bought. But there was slaves that were still freed then, of course. But they were not lawless people at all. They were very law-abiding people, and they felt like that the white man was much superior to him, and they gave us no trouble, except the fact that I feel more like that they were afraid of the white man. And my father had at one time four different Negro families on our farm. But they were very law-abiding people, and they thought what my father said was the thing to do, and we had no trouble with them whatsoever. Now, there may be places in Mississippi where they did, but not in our part of the central part of Mississippi. We were down about 42 miles below Jackson.
But everything was segregated then, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. Everything was segregated. That's true. You just didn't have anything at all to do with the black man. And we had no Mexicans whatsoever then. And but we had no trouble. They were very obedient because they felt like the white man was, they kind of looked on the white man as being their master. Mm-hmm. And they were very helpful, and they were even helpful to the housewives in what work they needed to do, and were always satisfied with a meager pay, which everybody did during times like that. They were seen very humble. We felt like they did.
Did your mother have a Negro woman that worked in the house?
Yes, she had. We had them on the farm, but she could call them any time she needed them.
Did they help in raising y'all like some of them did?
Well, no, they didn't do that. The only thing they would do was just do housework. They had no authority over us whatsoever.
Did you have one that you especially liked, or one
Yes, you always do that. Uh-huh. Yes, there was some that you'd just be real fond of, and they would be a few, all right, and usually the ones that lived with you. We had once on our farm a Negro Methodist preacher, and he was very likable and very humble, and I think he was sincere.
Well, when you came to Texas then, did you notice a difference in... when you came here in the Negro people?
We certainly did.
What did you...
Barbara, I just have to say most everything was different. Most everything. And the children now, when they visit my people back there, say, well, Mama, they don't talk like we do. Well, in a way, they don't. But then it isn't a difference that needs to be amount to anything. But there's quite a difference in the way that people live there. They, of course, don't live quite that. They've changed a lot to me now when I visit back there. They have changed more as we are, but it may be that I just look at it that way. But we found everything quite different out here to what it was there. People there, if they had 50 acres of land to farm, that was a big farm. And of course, they so many plowed with a one-horse plow. And if a man made two, three bales of cotton, he was just, that was just all right. And they had what they call a gin. The gin would gin, could gin four or five bales a day.
Oh. Do you remember the price of cotton?
Oh, it must have been back about maybe 5 cents or such. Anyway, it wouldn't sound good now.
No. But it was good then. Money was
sure.
Better.
Uh-huh. That's right. And your purse wasn't always filled with change either.
No.
But then you didn't need it. Then you were very cheap.
Oh, can you remember the first time you saw the Mexican people when you came to Texas?
First time I saw the Mexican people was in Hondo.
Good. What did you have any impression or how?
Well, being used to the Negro, it didn't make a great deal of difference with me. The fact was that I couldn't talk that language. Of course, couldn't any of us talk that language at all. We were just blank if a Mexican would come by to do a piece of work for us. We just didn't understand them. Of course, my father and two brothers knew nothing of Spanish. And of course, back there, Spanish is not taught. Latin is taught, not Spanish.
Well, when they worked for y'all, did you ever become acquainted with any of their superstitions?
Oh, yes.
Can you recall any of them now?
Oh, yes, they're very superstitious.
Was there anything unusual that you remember that?
Well, nothing. So many signs that they would have, you know, that they'd have to do certain things in a certain room, and they'd have to do certain things on a certain day. But they went a good deal on the moon. But it was all right to do it on a certain moon, plant a certain plant when it was full moon. That seemed to be their guide. But I look on them now as even now, the ones that we have here, I think they're good people. Of course, I know more about the Negro than I do about the Mexican. But the Mexicans are lots of good. I have a wonderful neighbor over here.
Well, back in Mathis when you first came here, were there ever any big celebrations, like a barbecue, or did you get together and have box suppers or picnics?
Well, yes, I remember when I first came here that one night, and you know, over this down here by Solomon's store, that stairs place there, the young people all had a box supper. Of course, the ladies each carried a box, and the boyfriend or the husband would buy a box, and then we would have our supper out of that box together, and the money would go for different things. Of course, we had a well in town, a public well up there in town, and some people who had just come to town would patronize when they would come to town. But most everyone here had their own windmill. Of course, when I moved in and bought this property, we would get water from Miss Farrell.
Did they have the big weddings then, like they do now?
No. The weddings were what I thought was, we thought then that they were just real nice affairs, but they're nothing to compare with what they have now, with the showers before time, and then the big weddings and the reception. People didn't go out too much for that.
Were they, most of them, married in their homes?
Yes, I was married in our home.
Were your children all married at home or in the church?
Well, now the old Clarence and Dorothy were married in the church. But other than that, the other children were all married in the home. Now, Basil and his wife married in their home, and Alice and Milton and Mary Lynn married in her mother's home over at Aldusa. But Mary and Alma and Helen, Mary and Alma were married in this home over here, but Helen was married here.
They were married here at home.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any other kind of celebrations that they had in Mathis, or were they mostly just the churches would have?
They didn't have a bank, did they?
Mr. John Bell had a general store, and I believe Mr. Mahoney and Mr. Sutherland about the stores. And where Margaret's shop is now was a small post office building.
Do you remember who the postmaster
was? The postmaster was Mr. Gardner, he married my husband's cousin. And where the store here on the corner.
Where the Piggly Wiggly used to be? Uh-huh.
Well, that was a hotel, Cable Hotel. And across there was another hotel. And the train, of course, we could get on the train here and go up to Skidmore, change there and go to Beeville. Or if you wanted to go the other way, and sometimes the train would go up in the morning and back in the afternoon, the passenger. It would just be a two-car affair. But we had freight trains, of course.
What was the business around Mathis? Were they farming then?
Yes, people were farming then.
Can you remember who some of them were that were farming?
Well, I should, but right now...
Were the Browns?
Yes, the Browns were here.
And the Porters? Were the Porters
here? The Porters were here. Mm-hmm. That is, the Mr. and Ms. Charlie Porter, there wasn't... The children weren't all married when I came here, but they married later. But I knew Mr. and Ms. Charlie Porter and Mr. and Ms. Vernon Porter. And the Capel family was here. And the Sutherlands were here then, I believe. And I believe he had a store here when I first came. But I remember Mr. Bell's more because he was just across the street down there from where I lived.
Well, what did he have in his store? Just everything?
Oh, we had anything from pens to stovepipes.
And it had groceries and...
Yes. It was a general mercantile store.
Did he have a meat market?
No.
No meat market?
No.
Well, what did you do for meat?
Well, a lot of times, maybe two would go together and barbecue, and butcher one, and you had, everybody most around the country had hogs. Well, you keep a cow in town. We had a cow right there on Main Street, and chickens.
Well, when you would butcher a cow, what would you do with the meat? You'd have to cook it because you didn't have refrigeration.
No, but then the only way you could do that would be for two or three to go together and do that.
And you'd cook it all up?
Well, it kept better than you might think that it would, because it would be when the weather was cold.
Oh, and you just kept it?
And people would have hogs and kill them, and the meat kept pretty good.
Well, I don't understand, how did you keep it from spoiling?
Well, now, some people would put it down in some kind of a solution. We never did, because we didn't quite understand that. But we had a house built out in the back that we would hang it up, and you could smoke it, and that would keep it pretty good. And you never had very much on hand at one time, no way. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, did you not eat much meat?
Oh, yes, because everybody had chickens.
Oh.
Chickens, and then, of course, all the men went hunting and were killed here in the wintertime.
So you always had meat.
In the wintertime, no, it was easier to keep the meat.
When did you first have the ice box? Do you remember?
I've had my first ice box. It was while I was on the farm. It must have been back when Mary was a baby.
Well, did they deliver ice to your house?
No, you'd have to go to the ice house and get your ice.
Did they have an ice house in Mathis?
Yes, and you'd go and you'd get ice and put it in your box. You'd have to have a dripper underneath that would to take care of the because it would leak out, you know.
But you were able to cook a lot more things than when you had ice.
That's right. And of course, everybody kept the cow.
Did you milk the cow?
I did until my boys began to get old enough. I milked lots of cows.
Did all the children learn to milk a cow?
Well, the older ones did. Helen did, but Mary and Alma didn't. They weren't inclined to outdoor life.
Were the children good about helping you around
the
house?
Yes, they were. They were. They didn't understand that there was anything else to be done.
Were you a strict mother? Did you spank them a lot?
Well, now I don't know whether to say I did or not, or didn't, because they might contradict it. I don't know.
But you wanted them to behave.
I tried my best to see that they did the right thing. And they will tell you that they did get a little switches, I'm sure they would.
Well, with six children around, I'm sure they got into a lot of mischief. Can you think of anything that they did one time that they shouldn't have, that you really had to put your foot down?
Of course, they, like all other children, they were always doing something, but I always did brag on my three oldest boys and the girls too that they got along pretty good together. But talk about them doing something that they shouldn't do, but there was other boys in connection with it, and that was when the dam was built. Helen loves cats, and she had a bunch of cats, and so the boys all went out to see what they were doing out at the dam. And they came back, and when we come back, the boys and with some other boys had gone and trimmed up Helen's cats, and we had a terrible time about that. I don't know whether I cut the ears off or just the tail of the wall.
Oh, well, what did you do?
Well, now that I didn't endorse.
Did they get a spanking?
Well, they were pretty good size to be spanked.
Oh, but I guess you told them.
I did. But you know that it's hard to raise children up to be perfect, and mothers can always think, well, they were not perfect either. But I did my best to put the right example before them. I thought that would pay about as well as anything that I could spank them for.
Did you know many of the people that lived around LaGuardia and Dinero out around Mathis? Did they come to town much?
Well, no, they didn't visit in town too much. That is, I knew a lot of them, but most that I would know of them would meet them up at church or maybe at something they were having at school.
Did they still have the LaGuardia College when you came to Memphis?
No, the LaGuardia College had been done away with, and the Methodist people, you know, had church at LaGuardia, and they had moved in to Memphis when I came here.
I see. Did y'all travel much to San Antonio or other towns?
No, ma'am.
What were the roads like then?
Well, they were bad. There was no pavement. My people, of course, still lived in Kennedy. And I remember one time we were better than a day getting from here to Kennedy to visit my mother and daddy there when the children were, I believe, just three of the children then. But the roads were bad.
Did you go to Corpus Christi much?
No, the people here didn't go to Corpus as much as they did to Beeville. You see, with the travel, it would have been very hard to have gone to San Antonio and places like that with the highways like they were, but the way to Beeville was always pretty passable.
Do you remember the 1919 hurricane?
The what?
The 1919 hurricane.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Where were you when that?
Well, I lived, let's see, the 1919. I guess that's a storm. When we lived in town then. We had rented the farm. We were living in town. And it was a terrible storm. And I guess that's when we lived on the farm and blew our house off of the blocks. That was the 1919.
Well, you were at home?
We were at home. Mm-hmm. But it just put our house off of the blocks, and part of the house left. It built in a place.
Well, you know, a lot of people lost their lives.
That's right.
In that storm. Mm-hmm. Were there any in Mathis area that a lot were killed?
Well, I don't believe any of it were killed, but if I remember correctly, that is the storm that Mr. and Ms. McNabb were living in Corpus, and their family here were having trouble getting communication with them in Corpus. But they finally did get in Corpus, and they were safe. But you know, that storm was the one that was really a bad storm for here and for Corpus too.
That's when so many people drowned.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any other storms that you were here when they happened? Or?
Well, of course we had at least three real storms besides the one that's been that you know
yes,
about.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, we did, and we lived in town, and it wasn't like the other when we lived on the farm. Our house wasn't upset in any way. But it was terrible and did so much damage that not much many people to do the repair work after that storm.
Well, who did it? Your husband?
Yes, they each man had to do his own repairs, and of course there weren't so many houses you hear then. There wasn't too many houses to be repaired.
When you were, y'all were still living on the farm, did you have a lot of, was there a time that you had a drought?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I mean, when we had quite a drought, and the farmers were, of course, really hard hit, as they were in more times than one, as for that. And, of course, it's like I told you about when the farmers had any kind of vegetable, there was never a market for it. Now, of course, there was a time when there was a market here for watermelons, Sandia and Mathis, too.
Did y'all plant watermelons?
We had watermelons then.
Do you remember the price of them?
I don't remember, but I remember it was a good price.
You made good money that year.
And everybody had good watermelons and lots of them.
Oh, and that was a good year.
Yes, it was. That was a good year with the farmers, when they did have the good year for the watermelons. And of course, Sandia, though, was ahead of Mathis in the way of producing watermelons.
Did y'all ever raise the sorghum grain like we do now?
No, not to any great extent. We did, we'd plant some just for home use.
But not for the market. Did you sell your corn that you planted?
No, because we needed it for the stock that we had.
Did y'all have quite a bit of?
See, we had, you kept a cow. Everybody had a cow. And of course, you had a cow to feed. And you had a hog to feed. You had chickens to feed. And your work stock, you had to use the corn and for them. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a garden?
Yes.
Did you keep the garden yourself?
No, I just didn't ever have much time put in the garden. Of course, I did some garden work, of course.
What did you have in your garden?
Well, we had beans and potatoes and things like people have in their gardens now. We didn't plant spinach, and we did have cabbage, but we had beans and potatoes, but not broccoli and vegetables like that people can have now.
Well, with your livestock and your chickens and your garden, you didn't have to buy too many groceries, did
That's
you?
That's right.
What did you buy?
Well, you had to buy, of course you had to buy your flour, sugar, rice, and your different, there's some things, you know, that you still have to buy, your coffee, salt. It's still a good place. The grocerman, you know, had a division in his store for that line of goods.
Well, when you went to buy your groceries, did you also buy material to make your girls' dresses in
yes.
the grocery store?
Mm-hmm. You do that all one shopping center.
We had shopping centers then, didn't we?
Yes, we had shopping centers then.
Can you remember how much you paid for a yard of material then?
Barbara, I have bought material and gave 25 cents a yard for it when I thought it was pretty high.
That was considered pretty high?
Pretty high.
And it was cotton?
It was cotton material.
And I know you had to do a lot of washing and ironing.
Sure.
What kind
of cleaners?
What kind of iron did you have when you?
Well, I had that in Mississippi when I was young. We had these irons that you sit in front of coals on the fireplace. You wouldn't understand what that means. I don't get.
Now, I've heard about them.
Well, that's what we had then.
They were real heavy, weren't they?
Well, not too heavy. But later, we had an iron that a top fit in, and you filled the iron with the coal. And that was better. We liked that much better. And then we later we'd get some kind of a tub-like affair, and fill that with coals and set those other irons on it. And then we had an iron where you could put it on your stove and put a handle to it. But the greatest drawback was you were just likely to ruin something and have to wash it over.
I guess so. I guess you've ironed many a dress and many a shirt.
I've ironed many dresses and many shirts, and I've made many dresses and many shirts.
What kind of a stove did you have when you first came?
I had a wood stove.
Did you have to carry the wood in, or?
No. That was the thing about it in Mississippi. That was the Negroes came in handy there. They always kept plenty of wood. Because we had fireplaces, we didn't have heaters. Different rooms had fireplaces and chimneys. And the niggers would keep the wood in, cut it to fit the stove. The stove would have a warming heater up at the top, and it would have a big tank on the side, and that was to keep hot water. But then over on the other side, you kept wood in the stove that did your cooking and everything that you had to use for a meal.
Did you have a wood stove when you first came to Mathis?
Yes.
And did you have a wood stove on the farm?
Yes, I had a wood stove on the farm for quite a while. And finally, though, we bought a kerosene stove, a stove that had a tank that used kerosene oil in it. And that was some improvement.
And then what was the next kind that you got?
Then the next one I got was gas, like we have now, after I got rid of the kerosene oil stove.
What was it like cooking on a wood stove?
Well, Barbara, it was just as easy to me then as the gas is now, because I didn't know any different. That was what we had, and we were just happy with it, and we didn't mind it anymore. I do now to cook on my gas stove.
Did you think the food was better then?
Well, now Barbara, there I'm almost tempted to tell you yes.
Now I would agree with you.
I do because, and everything that we had, we cooked it. It wasn't frozen. And
what was the one thing that your children always wanted you to cook for them? What did they like the most?
What did they like the most? Well, I'll tell you, my children grew up with their daddy telling them to never question the meal that I put on the table. And I didn't know much about balanced meals, but I learned from my mother that they needed to have meats and milk and vegetables. So that's what I would prepare for them. And so they eat it without any coaxing, or if they didn't want to eat it, well, I'd just jump down and run to play. It's not, I never thought it was...
Thank you.